Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come into Thy presence, Abba Father, we praise Thee, we glorify Thee, we magnify Thee, Lord, as Brother Jose, Brother Max, and I come into Thy presence. Heavenly Father, we pray You would speak to us from Thy word, Father. Speak to us, Lord, that we might become like Thee. For in Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. The last few weeks, we read Matthew 28, and the last few verses, the last words of Jesus was, "Go ye into all the world, teach them, baptize them, pray for them that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." Today, wherever we go, we hear this preaching, turn on the TV, the promise, "Lo, I am with you." Jesus said, He is with you. Is it really true that Jesus is with everybody? Jesus said, "Teach my disciples to observe all things that I have commanded you, apostles. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In the book of Mark, the last chapter of Mark, it says, "Then the apostles went everywhere preaching his word, and then God confirmed his word by signs following." We see a big heresy. It is so sad when NBC and CNN states on TV that the TV evangelism has become the number one profitable money-making device in the world. Even though that is not true, what has happened is some false prophets and false preachers have used TV to make themselves millionaires and billionaires. Here is the heresy that is going on. TV evangelists are telling their audience, "Sow the seed." In other words, they are calling seed money. They are saying, when Jesus referred to seed, he was referring to money, he was referring to dollars. And so they are saying, "You sow the seed in dollars and God will multiply it." Does the word of the Lord really call the seed as dollars? Let's turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Luke 8, 11 says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." Our intent is not to talk and gossip about TV evangelists, about those who proclaim the name of Jesus on TV to get rich. Now, Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians and Thessalonians, and in Titus and Timothy, "Some preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some preach Christ of goodwill. Some preach Christ with false intentions. But I'm not going to go ahead and try to stop them or do anything or gossip about them, because whatever it is, the name of Christ is preached." Yes, it is true that many people hear the name of Christ. However, the name of Christ is being disgraced when someone says, "Accept Jesus and send me the dollars," because seed is dollars. Luke 8:11 clearly says the seed is the word of God. The days have come, these are the last days. The Bible says they shall work many signs and wonders to, if possible, deceive the very elect. People think if there are a lot of numbers, it must be the truth. People that have gone to hell and come back, God has given them the grace to come back with experiences of heaven and hell so that they can warn people. What they have said is that 99.9% of the people that are currently living are going to the lake of fire. Only 0.1% are actually going through the pearly gate to the presence of God. Why is this? Because people are getting easily deceived. The 99.9% are getting easily deceived. Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Because many people follow the majority. They follow the numbers. "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few there be that find it." When God spoke to Joshua, he said very clearly, "This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou may be careful." Let's read that word. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law, which is the Holy Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." It doesn't matter what happens in our life, in our environment. What matters is what we are founded on. So, when God spoke to Joshua, he used the word meditate. In Psalm 119, we see the word meditate. In Psalm 1, we see the word meditate. In Psalm 27, Prophet King David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." The word meditate has a wrong connotation in the Christian circles, because meditation is usually associated with Eastern religions like Hinduism, so a New Age movement. So what is the difference between the meditation that is spoken of in New Age and Hinduism and the meditation that is spoken of in the Bible? In Hinduism and yoga and in Eastern religions, they say in order to meditate, you need to cleanse your mind, empty your mind, and just meditate on nothing. Empty your mind so that you can meditate is what the Eastern religions and Hinduism referred to as meditation. In the Bible, meditation is filling your mind. The demonic doctrines are referring to meditation by emptying your mind, but the Bible is referring to meditation by filling your mind with the Word of God. "And then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then will you have good success." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had all the power to tell the devil, "You asking me a question? Disappear, become vacuum, be burnt with fire in the name of Jesus." But Jesus didn't use his godly power, his might, to crush the enemy. When the enemy said, "If you are the Son of God, why don't you make these stones to turn into bread?" Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Not one jot or one tittle, not even one semicolon or apostrophe shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And Jesus said, the heaven and earth shall pass away. Everything will be wiped out like a garment. But the word of God alone will be there. We know a day is coming when the entire universe will be wiped out. There will be nothing. No galaxies, no Milky Way, nothing. There will only be God, His children, and His throne, and the Word of God will endure forever. And so Psalm 1, verse 1 to 2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We have to fill our mind with the word of God. It is good for multitudes to follow Jesus and his servants, but I want to tell the church of God and the world what the devil is planning. What the devil is doing is, he is sending false preachers, false prophets, false apostles in this world so that they will draw a great multitude, and then he can lead all of them into the lake of fire. This is not made up, but I have heard many, many great televangelists, and I've actually heard their voice. And they have said, these are great tele-evangelists with probably more than 10,000 millions of followers all over the world. They have said they are not sure that Jesus is the only way. Some even say Islam and Christianity are one. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The great deception is happening all over the world. John 1:1 says, starting from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning there was nothing, the Word of God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And through that Word, everything was made. In him was light. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. It is not enough to have life. But Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it abundantly. In order to have that abundant life, the Bible tells us that we have to meditate the Word of God. Jesus Christ said in the book of John, abundant life. What is the difference between life and abundant life? A person is in ICU. He has tubes all over his body. He has life. He's breathing. His heart is beating. Now, if a cobra comes into the room, he does not have the strength to get up from his bed and kill that snake. Even though he had life, he does not have that abundant life. Abundant life is important so that as the Church of the Living God, we can crush the enemy. The word meditation is given again and again and again in the Bible. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will meditate on thy precepts. Today the message that the Lord is giving us is, we have to meditate on the word of God. It is so wonderful that when I heard Brother Jose and Brother Max saying that they replay the audio, they meditate the word of God, they are in tune with the word of God. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. How do we get into abundant life? This is not only for the church of the living God, but for those who will hear this message. In order to get abundant life, we have to listen to the word of God, because the witches and the demons and the powers of darkness use demonic words to bring death to the lives of people. The word of God that we listen to, the word of God that we hear, and the word of God that we read has abundant life, greater power than atomic power, greater power than any power in the universe. And therefore, Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Today, many are walking around in this world with just plain life, no light, no abundant life, and they are confused. We have come to the point where very soon the treaty is going to be signed with Israel. The Bible says the Antichrist will confirm to them a covenant. And in 3.5 years, he will break that covenant. And he will sit in the temple of God, calling himself that he is God. When we see the news, we read that we are very close to the time when the covenant between Israel and their enemy shall be signed, so the temple can be built. And then the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God, calling himself that he is God. And the Bible clearly tells us that the whole world will follow after the Antichrist. And the Bible also tells us that those who do not know the covenant, the testimony, the word of God, will be corrupt by flatteries. So today, everything that is spoken in New Jerusalem Church and outside has to be tested with the word of God. If what people speak is beautiful psychological words, as Apostle Paul said, beware lest any man beguile you with philosophy and deceit and words that are smooth and slither like a snake. But do not talk about holiness. We see a lot of miracles and signs and wonders. However, if the word of God is not preached, and if holiness is not preached, these are all messages that are not coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ, who has nail prints in his hand and his leg, and wore a crown of thorns. The word grace has been so abused that today it has become a disgrace. God's grace has been given to us to stop sinning, to become holy and become like Jesus. God's grace has not been given to us to keep on singing, to keep on sinning. One person told me, we are anchored to the rock and geared to the time. How can you be anchored to the rock and geared to the time? Because the Bible says the fashion of this world passeth away. And I responded to them saying, that may be your faith, but my faith is I am rooted in the rock and anchored to the word of God. The time is coming when the house that is built on the sand, not the word of God, is going to perish. We're getting very close to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said in the book of Revelation, blessed is he that readeth, heareth, and keepeth those things that are written therein. Again, the book of Revelation says, blessed are they that keep his commandments, that they may enter the gates into the city. Somebody told me it's the whole Bible is not necessary. You know, all we need is John 3:16. Well, if that's true, why did God give us the 66 books of the Bible? Why did Jesus stay for 40 days and teach commandments unto his disciples so they will give it to the church? Apostle Paul says, that which I gave unto you, I received of the Lord as a commandment, that the Lord in the night he was betrayed took bread and gave it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So when we preach the words of Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it is recognized as many as the words of Paul and not inspired by the Spirit. However, the word of God says, holy men did not speak alone, but holy men spake as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The last days have come where the mockers are rising up saying, where is the promise of his coming? Because everything continues as it was in the early days. We do not seek destruction. We seek the love of God. But unfortunately, we have to tell the world that the judgment is going to fall. The fire is going to fall. The wrath of God is going to fall. Unless this world repents and gets back to the word of God. Not the sugar-coated preaching that is going on, but the word of God. The preaching that John Wesley preached. When John Wesley preached, all the so-called false churches in England told him that we don't allow people like you to preach. So John Wesley and his gang of chimney sweepers who were black and dirty because they went through the chimneys of England to clean them, John Wesley and the chimney sweepers of England preached from John Wesley's father's tombstone. And the power of God was manifested. People wept for their sins. They repented. And all the churches in England were filled with the holy presence of God. All the movie theaters were closed. When D.L. Moody preached, people fell on their faces saying, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Today, a false doctrine is being preached. Just live the way you want. You can still stay in Hollywood. You can do whatever you're doing. You can break the seventh commandment. You can have unnatural relationships, but Romans 1 says, because they knew not God, nor glorified God, and gave the glory that belongs to God, God gave them over to unnatural affections, to do things that are unseemly and ignorant. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. But this preaching is not complete gloom, because the Bible tells us that in the last days, God will send the latter rain. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. And it will flow through the church. So these days it is our duty to meditate on the word of God. Joshua meditated on the word of God. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, meditated on the word of God. King David, a king, meditated on the word of God. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Today people play the lottery and gamble so that they can become millionaires. They are walking and stepping on precious diamonds, rubies, pearls, chalcedony, gold as transparent as glass. The greatest riches in the universe, the Holy Bible, the eternal word of God. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us and give us the grace to meditate on the word of God. Let the storms roar. Let the people rage against us. Let the demons yell and scream. We will meditate on the word of God. We will stand on the word of God. We will bear fruit by the word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Those who obey the word of God, those who meditate on the word of God. In fact, some people say it's hard to obey all the commandments of God. But God told Joshua, if you meditate on the word of God, if you speak the word of God, when you rise up and you have the word of God all around you, the word of God speaking audibly to you, then you will be able to obey. The key thing is meditating on the word of God. Many people get into depression because they meditate on what other people said. If somebody tells someone saying, you're not fit for this, you're not fit for that, you're good for nothing, your cancer will never get healed, you're going to die, they listen to those words and doom and hurt themselves and perish. The word of God is the only word of hope and joy and faith and comfort and power and miracles and signs and wonders. And that word of God, the Holy Bible, has a name. And that name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God. We have been given the word of God. We read that in communist countries, they long to hear one verse in the Bible because the word of God is so precious. We have been given the 66 books of the Bible. Let us enjoy the word of God. Let us meditate the word of God. Let us sit in the presence of God because the time is short. We have the incorruptible seed sown in our hearts. Contrary to New Age and Hinduism, let us fill our minds with the word of God. Let us fill every cell in our body with the word of God. Many people, even those who call themselves Christians and Pentecostals, are getting into depression. The doctors cannot find out what is wrong with them, what kind of disease or ailment they have. Nobody's able to find out what is going on. The problem is, they don't fill their minds with the Word of God. The Bible says, don't just read, don't just hear. Meditate. What is meditation? When we put food in our mouth, we don't gobble it. When we eat meat, or we buy sandwiches, we don't stuff the sandwich into our mouth and swallow it, because we do that, we'll choke. We grind it to pieces with our teeth. That is what is called meditation. When we read Psalm 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How do you meditate on that? You take that verse apart. The Lord, that means He is the Lord. He is the Lord of my health. He is the Lord of my future. He is the Lord of my eternity. He is the Lord of USA. He is the Lord of this world. He is the Lord of the company where I work in. He is the Lord of my finances. He is the Lord of my holiness. He is the Lord of everything. And now you meditated on that word, the Lord. The Lord, meaning He is the only Lord. Is my shepherd. He doesn't say was my shepherd. He doesn't say will be my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is always my shepherd. Which means that I am His sheep. And He is my shepherd. And He is the one who is supposed to provide for me. Physically, financially, spiritually, in health. Because He is my shepherd. He protects me from the enemy. He shepherds His herd. And He leads me. It also means that we don't move until the shepherd moves. The Lord is my shepherd. Somebody might say, so what? I shall not want. I will not lack money. I will not lack spiritual power. I will not lack the gifts of the Spirit. I will not lack the blessings of God. Plus, I will not lack the problems in this life. Because one lady went to the pastor and said, Pastor, you're saying that we'll have problems, we'll have temptations, we'll have disappointments. I don't seem to have any. What are you all talking about? Temptations, trials? Well, the pastor said, oh, grandma, you and the devil are going in the same direction. No wonder you don't have any problems. So, I shall not want. But when we have problems, the Bible tells us, according to Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Yes, Joseph had problems. They accused him. They put him in jail. But God used those problems as stepping stones of success. And he was raised to the right hand of Pharaoh. Bible says in the last book of Daniel, many shall be purified and made white and tried. God tests us. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There will be times when we will go through the valley of the shadow of death. This thing happened to me in December. I got up one fine morning and I saw the roof spinning. And I couldn't go to work. I didn't want to go to the doctor, but my wife said, you have to. I said, okay. And they tested me and said, we suspect that you have prostate cancer. And I told my wife, I'm not going to go for a checkup. She said, nope, you have to go for a checkup. And then I prayed. And as I prayed early morning, the Lord spoke. And He said, for many, visits to the hospital may be devastating, but for you, it will be victorious. And I got up and wrote that. And then they did all kinds of tests. And finally, they did a magnetic resonance image, MRI. And they said, the prostate is perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. You're clean. Everything is fine. And at the, just before that, a prophet also called me from India and said, God told me to call and let you know that everything's going to be okay. You're serving the Lord. So, and then he said, the reason God did this to you in December, the last month, is because he wanted to purify you. It is painful going through this, but he wanted to purify. Everyone in my family were really sad. They were really looking forward to the MRI result, but I knew that God had everything in control. We will have some trials and tribulations and problems and pains. We will temporarily see some children going away from the word of the Lord. Families will get split up. Because Jesus clearly said, don't think that I have come to bring peace on this earth. From now on, there will be division. A husband will be divided against his wife. A father will be divided against his son. Mother-in-law will be divided against a daughter-in-law. And a man's foes, enemies, will be those of his own household. Why don't we believe what Jesus said? So we don't have to look down on people that are having challenges. We will have challenges, trials, and tribulations because Jesus said, many shall be purified and made white and tried. And that is why the book of James said, count it all joy when you go through diverse tribulations, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. Our faith will be tested as gold. Our faith is in the holy word of God. Where people are rejecting the word of God, enjoying their life and mocking and making fun of us. Let's pray for their salvation. However, our duty as the minority, as the 0.1% that are going to enter into glory. It's very sad when we say that, because Jesus doesn't send anyone to hell. They have to literally spit on the cross, spit on the blood of Jesus, spit on the face of Father, and cross him, and his pleadings and his tears, and then jump into the lake of fire. God doesn't send anyone. They jump into it. They reject the love of someone whose love is greater than a mother. They reject the love of someone whose love is greater than a human father. The love of God, the agape love. You have to actually reject that to enter into the lake of fire. The word of God is given unto us. He that built his house on the rock, the word of God. You can call it revelation, you can call it Jesus, you can call it apostles. That is all true. But the rock on which our life, our future is built, has to be on the word of God. For the time is coming, is already here, when they shall work signs and wonders and mighty deeds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. But the elect cannot be deceived. And that is why the Bible says in the book of Acts, those who were at the church at Berea were more dignified and more godly and more blessed. Because when the apostles preached the word, they referenced the word to check and see if what the apostles were saying was in conformance with the word of God. Our duty is not to accept anything that we hear. whether it is from New Jerusalem Church or whether it is from anywhere, whether it's from your wife or your loved one or anyone, everything has to be tested with the Word of God. They once asked a man who knows how to identify forged currency. You know, a lot of people are printing dollars all over the world. Forgery. But this man was an expert. He could just look at something and find out whether it was a real dollar or a duplicate forged dollar. And they asked him, how do you know so easily? Other people have to analyze, put it under the microscope. You just take it in your hand and you can tell immediately, this is a forgery, not the true dollar. And he said, okay, here's what I do. And they asked him, oh, you must have studied hundreds and millions of forged dollars, right? Duplicate dollars. He said, no, I didn't spend any time looking at forgery. I spent time studying the true dollar. I spent time only looking and understanding and researching and placing under microscope the true dollar. And therefore, when something that is not true comes, I can immediately recognize it. That's what the Word of God calls meditation. Research, meditation on the Word of God. The Word of God needs to become one with us. The Word of God needs to become part of ourselves. I don't know if this is true or not, but they said, you can search it on the internet. There was a man in close to Atlanta, someplace in Georgia, and hours and hours and hours he used to keep on reading the Bible. One day, as usual, he went to take his Bible, and the Bible was buried in oil. And so he and his wife called their granddaughter and said, that's my favorite Bible. I used to read the Bible for so many hours a day. Oh, honey, did you pour some oil into it? And she said, no, Grandma, no, Grandpa. I didn't do it. And the oil started flowing out. And they took the Bible, and there was no oil in it. And now I heard that they are bottling all the oil and giving it to everybody. And the scientists came and tried to research it. And they found that it was very close to the fingerprint of oil on this planet. But the oil fingerprint was something that they could not recognize as being on this planet. Now, I don't know whether it's true or whether it's false, but one thing Jesus said is, if it's true, it's wonderful, but even if it's not true, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And what is the Holy Spirit? He is the anointing oil. There is an oil that comes from the Word of God. When the oil, when we are bathed in that holy oil, which is the Word of God, snakes don't like it. Bugs don't like it because they'll get stuck in that oil. Worms don't like oil. And that oil is an anointing. And as anointed as kings and priests, let's live immersed in the oil of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and to Titus, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that shall make thee wise unto salvation. Apostle Paul knelt in the beach and told everybody, I have not refused to give you the entire Word of God. I have preached the entire Word of God. May God give us the grace to reach, preach, consume, and become one with the entire Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, because that is Jesus Christ. As much as we respect Jesus Christ and want to see Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Holy Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Someone took all the words in the Bible and made it into the face of Jesus Christ. When they looked at the face of Jesus Christ, they actually saw the words in the Bible. May the Word of God be our joy, our food, our dollar, our wealth, our health, our hope, our future, our treasure, our breath. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.